think I went first last week too, but I got buses to catch and I'm a busy man, so sorry about that. This is a new one. I'm going to try and do it off my heart, but we'll see how it goes. I often used to obsess over the idea of telepathy, that if I could read minds, I could understand why people align themselves into social circles and formed cliques. And like the actuary assessing the value of company, I would assess myself and my damages and examine what I'd like to fix. But don't get me wrong, I was the world's most undeserving narcissist, and vehemently would resist any changing to my social standing, internally commanding that I embodied perfection. On reflection, not much changed. See, growing up eccentric, it is intrinsic to know when to shut up. And in lieu of a societal shift where being direct isn't to neglect, but a sect of welcomed informed honesty, I remain captivated by navigating non-verbal cues. See, the art of the unsaid was designed with the intention to express and not offend, and in my head that makes perfect sense, although it continues to elude. Because to my eyes, every smile could be a disapproving stance in the position of my hands, every glance a chance of romance, every touch perceived as a threat, met with regret or confusion and intrusion on my personal bubble. Now lately, I can adapt, and I become adept at knowing when someone goes a bit funny around me. Where I'm inept is knowing what to do with that information afterwards. See, I want to know for sure how I'm perceived, but it seems like saying these things makes them concrete. So the discrete develops until it becomes palpable, and it's laughable that someone has to burst from a tightness in their chest before they can express emotion. Now, I understand that no one expects to wake up to news that they're immune to being unliked, and it's polite to be passive rather than abrasive, and most people have virtue and are not designed to want to hurt you. But sometimes they do. And sometimes it's intended. And it's pretended that it's amended by being able to dismiss the fact that I was a little bit offended. But sometimes I'm a perpetrator or an exasperator of someone's already fragile ego. A trait who stands in a public space spouting about the remnants of other social failures. But to be human is to insult and not consult your conscience until you lie in bed realizing that it was your actions could have caused a reaction that would ruin someone's day. So I wish I could still read minds. Every time I ask for an honest critique, or the mystique of asking someone out for a date, unsure whether you're friends, or when you say you like me, do you mean that romantically or platonically? But we are a nation who are designed... Last line! But we are a nation built on taking risks on what our gut tells us isn't a mistake. And the world isn't going to make that change. So I guess I'm the one who has to get used to it. And that's a bit strange when I think about it. Thanks.
The people are all gathering, photographers are out. There's an iceberg floating up the lee now, what's all this about? I've come down from the Arctic, you've brought me to my knees. Would you stop producing CO2, I'm begging you now, please. Stop lighting fires, you mean? Stop burning coal? Oh, I don't know, 'tis very cold and damp here, you're in Cork now, you know. I know exactly where I am, but really can't you see? Open fires are such a waste of energy. And as I passed by your towns and villages, all that I could smell was cows or farting methane gas. That's a greenhouse gas as well. Cows, our sacred cows, our red meat is a must. Without our cows, our whole country would go bust. Again. What about those cargo boats filled with foreign food and drink? Unless you're eating local food, it's money down the sink. Eat only local food we grow ourselves, potatoes and carrots, you mean? What would our fancy restaurants do with potatoes and carrots? A stew? Look at all those cars, the nasty fumes that choke. It's sad for me to say this, but you people are a joke. How are we to travel so? How to get from A to B? The bike's all right for a small trip, but it's the trolley load for me. But stop buying loads of stuff, hoarding stuff that costs an awful lot to have at the expense of those who have not. Live on less. Less clothes, less shoes, less red meat, less foreign food, less travel, less waste, less water, less haste. Do all that you can do to produce less CO2. Well, excuse me. That's an awful lot of talk out of an ice cube in the knee. Yes, and I'm melting fast, but I have one last thing to say, and you'll pardon my language here, but I think it's pretty shit if this is your idea of revenge for Titanic.
Is there a Jack without a K, Jack Shortland?
I was going to do another one, but Eamon, you inspired me. This is the night to put this one out. Memories. If your house has no attic or basement, then where can you keep them? With your late summers hibernating in the garden shed, or under your bed asleep with your heavyweight winters, or under the stairs piled up in layers, bound up or bagged, or pinned to the walls facing side of your mirrors, or placed between pages you've loved and once read. But remember, they will fish them out when you're dead. So, dump all your damaged ones, shred all your dreaded ones, choose your most cherished ones and scan them for truth. Then burn all the doubtful ones and see what's left. The well-earned and well-earned you don't need to lose. Now, only keep the ones you can actually use and store them with everyday things that you use without thinking, like shampoo and cat food and matches and spices and spoons.
Time in the museum's Chinese exhibition, I stood in front of an old imperial throne and felt what it was to travel.
Megan Cronin. Ex-Hurricane Ophelia. There's always one, right? Ex-Hurricane Ophelia. Ex-Girlfriend Ophelia. Ex-Sister Ophelia. Ex-Daughter Ophelia. Needle point and flower gathering Ophelia. Your circumstance was out of your control. To be or not to be is not the question. It's a choice you never had. And I'm sorry to tell you, Ophelia, that 518 years later, not much has changed. The men in your life controlled you with fear. Your father and brother whispered threats in your ear. A deflowered woman is damaged goods. So you saved yourself for a lover that would. And your lover was a lover only in name. Get thee to a nunnery, thy lover proclaimed. Called you a breeder of sinners because you wouldn't play his game. But I empathize with you, Ophelia, I understand. Because women still get called these things when they don't give it in to a man. And even when they choose to do so, a decision that is theirs, they are berated and belittled because it's everybody's business and everybody cares. Your father and your brother made your decisions for you. And for women even now, lack of control isn't something new. It's 2017, women stand up for themselves, though sometimes are not believed, guess we added to the list of things we must achieve. And in your time of madness, you gave everybody flowers, now no one could deflower you. And how fitting it was that in your time of madness, you chue to give wormwood and rue, and for the purpose they were used for, women are fighting for that right to choose. And in the hour of your death, Ophelia, you had a choice to make. But for you, dear Ophelia, there was only ever one choice. You chose the one that gave you control, the one that gave you a voice. And even in your death, Ophelia, people took away your control. Ophelia, they all knew you chose to drown, but women didn't get a choice, so it was your garments that pulled you down. Ex-living Ophelia, you finally had your say. People watched as you destroyed everything that got in your way. You ripped trees from their roots, caused power outages for days. People prepared best they could, but no one controls a hurricane. Maybe this was an act of rebellion against the oppression you suffered in your time, and the fact it still exists in mine. Fear drove you to insanity, and ongoing oppression drove you to rage. But I'll encourage your protest, Ophelia, in the hope something will change. Thank you.
Niamh O'Connell. Frog. Beneath my bed is a nest of odd socks I cannot pair. They've been taken instead and spiraled into a resting place. From out of this nest comes my quirk in the shadows. A frog, red eyes and stringy limbs, squeezed into flared jeans, topped with a coat of neon lime fur. He thinks himself too cool to leap or jump, so he jives instead, croaking his cigarette smoke to the tunes of Mama Cass. My amphibious friend feasts on flies that buzz too loud when I read, and slurps on puddles of tea that I have spilt again. This old guy is flashy, off-key singing, disco dancing, but when I speak to strangers, he hides behind my legs, squat down and peering up until it's safe to come out.
Okay, I'm going to put a bit of love in this night, okay? Your lips, I will always remember their heat. Some time ago, I had a nightmare. I was alone, without love, floating in a nonsense, scary earth. But one day, afternoon, you appear as a brilliant light in the deep river lee. Your natural way, you're feeling just outside your skin. I felt your soul touching my heart and everything changed. Just for a time, we will be together and probably our world after disappear. But I promise you that we will never feel alone again. No more nightmares. My life will pass floating in our cork memories.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm,
no, I'm sorry,
I'd say it to you.
Is this how you write?
That's how I write.
Okay.
Exposure. Too much rain or not enough. Fear of desert, drought or flood. Dry-eyed grief or gushing tears. Much too much or not enough. A global shift in temperature, unwelcome to a world of habit. We watch reaction by an emperor compromise the world we inhabit. As ice shelves submit to waves and all-out devastation is visited by winds with proper names. Ophelia ravaged the land, ripped limbs from trees, exposed roots to the air, knocked out power lines, and killed some in cars. Forests burning or clear felled, trees surrendered to the flames, wild creatures savagely expelled, their sacrifice no one proclaims, though every schoolchild knows from stories told at mother's knee, the empress has lost her clothes.
nation. I try and get. It is difficult to part with sociable darlings, cling to pretext that cause to suffer. Long for ties that bind, secure an industry, remembering the lost, nearly jumping ship. What structures, what temples, enough to ask, how they will fall down, stone under stone, glorious windows hacked for prize giving, and mayhem apertures of feeble act. Choose who you want to associate with, I skulk in corners, wait for a reply, intrusive longings sink in your estimation, your own satisfaction remains your prize. Declarations of hatred rankle still, needing to back off a bastardized prize. Engagement over the phone declared readily. Flowers for girls twisting the blade. A sumptuous meal in the sight of foes. Gathering dishes in diminished greeting. Calling predictions from a diseased mind. Glossing over facts hardcore and stable. Awaiting forecasts that don't materialize. Voluminous threats till the end of the room. Getting all that is wanted, smugly ensconced. Living well, revenge worth declining. Thank you.
What possessed the flock to do such things? What eyes, what wry smile to break the day? Morning's youth beckons. These days have taken their toll on the unable of the bunch. The crows sit silently for lunch. Foxes burrow holes longing for a day off. The now hollow, wasted words spewn across the room. Dragged from ditch to door, a drunkard going home. Ah, the clever stance of the still hidden horse. The cunning glance of a figure who's trounced on teardrops. But remains every ounce of effervescent remorse. The unseen masks of a weary few, thoughts left over only to stew. Rain will continue to fall, daggers will always be thrown, and problems persist in pursuit of defeat. Holding hands as we find our feet, a list of demands for a God to keep.
Lost in translation. Sunday morning. I'm on a train somewhere in Hungary, the wrong train, as I was soon find out when the ticket worker comes around and scans my ticket. Tells me in broken English that this is not the train headed to Prague. That train was on the left side of the track. This train was on the right side of the track, headed to, well, not Prague. He tries to give me directions, but sees I'm really struggling, lost in translation, lost in Hungary, and alone. Fight or flight kicks in, but I have nowhere to flee to. I feel homesick, try not to cry, start to kind of cry, while the old woman across the aisle looks over in pity at me, the American girl, alone in Europe, just trying to get to her next destination. I think of my grandparents. Babcha and Chaja, 60 years ago, half my age, and fleeing post-World War II Eastern Europe after fighting through work camps and running from persecution, witnessing more death than I'll ever see in my lifetime, headed to America, the promised land. Try to fathom their life, lost in translation, not for a weekend or a train ride, for years, even lifetimes. Learning a new language while trying to continue old customs, building a life from the beginning and working like their survival depended on it, like my existence depended on it. I'm still lost, but get off after the first stop and stumble onto the next train I can only pray is headed back to my starting point, layered in labels of upper class status, serving as more of a trophy to them and their work ethic than to me and my born privilege. I consider myself blessed. Picture Babcha and Gaja at 10, not crying because they got on a wrong train in a foreign land because they were on a boat headed to a foreign land and there was no return ship in sight. Choke back my tears, leave my fear on the empty seat next to me, because if they can do that, I can make it back. Yeah.
So, onward. It's a lot harder to hit the ground if you actually try. Just like every flap will appear insufficient to your advance once you look forward. You will fly, free until you want your freedom. Then every molecule in the air will be a chain and a link in a bigger one. Do you feel heavy yet? Then close your eyes, do nothing more, and wait. The elements will carry you as long as you feign liking any direction. When the wind settles, take the plunge. Make gravity your ally. Pick up some speed. See the earth closing in. Time stretch again. Break the fall. Do you feel heavy yet? You see, you will never be free. Wherever you go, you won't be weightless, unless, for a moment, you stop.
Great. And now we have Ben Burns.
This is my critique of the film Fight Club. Fight Club is a poodle, soggy and aggressive, growling in the drizzle with a studded collar. Fight Club is a fluffy head full of glorious ideas about rebellious masculinity, not realizing it's fluffy. Fight Club is a story of anarchic ascension through Hollywood to heaven, the happy end of capitalism. Yeah. Fight Club's about liberation, striving to let things happen, deciding what you're here for before approaching death. It's a poodle sniffing gold at the end of the rainbow where stock markets are toppled and bitches are conquered.
Ken Harrison.
This is the only poem I've ever written. So. Basically, it's quite short. This starts off back in the late 50s, maybe. My first memory was of the foghorns on the River Mersey. Sounded like dinosaurs starving in the back streets of Liverpool. St. George's Hall looking like a black wedding cake from the dust of the coal and the wall. Everything was black, except the light from our young eyes. Promises of a bright future we were never quite allowed to know. There was a brief glow in the 60s of people sharing whatever they had. Soon after that, we were told this was bad. Now my city, white and clean, many more homeless than there's ever been, hidden in corners full of despair, and money.
This is kind of inspired by a lot of this art and poems about the new, like, social media, about how much we rely on technology and how they kind of like emphasize that it's bad and do it very poetically and very artistic. And I try to not do that because it's very, even though it's brilliant, they're creating beautiful pieces of art, beautiful comic strips, displaying how people rely too much on their phones and technology. I don't think in the end it's actually working. And I think it's kind of like falling back on itself. So I've written this poem in inspiration of that. Do you kind of get what I mean? This is called Part 7, Dickens and Darwin's. We are all writing like Dickens when censoring on this new medium. treading on how it's all immoral that we spend more time in selfish addiction for self-praise through a countless collection of internet platforms. Instead, let's be Darwins and flesh on the direction of mankind's roots. Remember the evolutions, the paths, and the perfections, and make sure it stays fertile. Make sure people remain kind, responsible, and respectable, even though it's behind a monitor this time. Creating Dickens art seems to be looping the isolation instead of healing it. Thank you.
Compost. I like all the warm things, the decay, old boats rotting by the side of a lake, metamorphosis at sea, things becoming smaller, swallowed by larger things, wood rotting in the garden. I saw a hedgehog climb out of some, only to be run over by a metal car. His decaying body, food for the crows. His life of chewing insects, shelters in a winter woodpile gone. A home, those materials that metabolise, the ruins of ships where fish roam among bones, the worn-out tails, a cove called Harbour, where the mighty Titanic sailed, sadly turning cheering crowds to tears. The ageing leather skin of gypsies, weather-worn wild and free, the lines, the tails, the scars, the fights. I enjoy trodden paths, stone walls where weeds have grown between the cracks, old railway tracks, apples rotting on the ground, my love for old things know no bounds, the things that once were free, that may be now docked and anchored, it's warm things I hanker after.
Ali Brandon. I think it doesn't matter at all. This is Desert Optics. Look at the doll, take care of the doll. The doll has no eyes. There are two olive black pits where the doll's eyes should be. Take care of it. Hold its hand, not that hand. It is a new descending, a nude on a staircase. Look at the doll, take care of the doll. The doll has no eyes. There are six buttons on the doll's chemise. Two are missing, three and four. Not that hand, the other hand. That hand is on. There's a hand ahead of your step, a hand on the floor. Most dolls have 10 fingers. This doll has 11. Five on the floor, six in your hand. Look at the doll, take care of the doll. The doll has no eyes. The five on the floor are quick. A hand with five legs. The hand with five legs stops when you stop. It turns and looks at you with no eyes. We know it looked. It jumps, clicks its thumb and middle finger. You move again. Commanded. Step, stare, step and stare. Look at the doll. Take care of the doll. The doll has no eyes. The doll has stopped walking. You look. Its neck turns in your direction. A hand appears in the eye sockets. A thumb outward from socket left. A middle finger from socket right. Click. It clicks its finger in shattered bridge bone. It breaks out through the doll's face and throws itself at your neck. Look at the doll. Take care of the doll, for the doll has no eyes.
Stillness is a human construct, a body running across the earth is one of two moving parties. The wolf sitting poised is making imprints on the snow. The man alone, quiet in contemplation of his actions while moving, is still in motion. Stillness is a human construct, yet we seek gratification for our movements as though the wind sought air miles on distance. Bonus points for being. The mind in meditation is perched in the head of a body moving in time with the turning of the earth. Stillness is a human construct that has come to obstruct a stream of constant flow, a life of changing energies, the only one we know, a moving web of synergy that enables us to grow. We consider ourselves experts on that which doesn't exist, as though there was such a thing as dead earth, or life in the images that we depict of a strange, unmoving world that we describe to our kids. This is how the world is. It'll always be like this. This is to treat life as death, as though at the mercy of our will, to engage with the earth as flat. To feel the world as still.
Today is the tyrant of my work. Be professional, be polite, never a young Turk. Fluorescent clinical lights masquerade the musk of this job that has no real perks. These lights, like this job, make me feel tired and drained. At the beginning of each shift, I hand in my brain in exchange for 8 hours of minimum wage. Browsing brain dead, I find this farcical yet perfectly plausible article pertaining the authoritarian intention of Thomas the Tank Engine. The fat controller fronts a facet of capitalism, telling a colorful train to go work in the rain even when he didn't want to. He was afraid his bright colors would wash away, so they take off his tracks and entomb him in a tunnel. The fat controller shouts and says, "We shall take off your rails and leave you here for always and always, unless you work for the rest of your days." Now it sounds to me like the train had anxiety, but there's no place for that in a corporate society, where uniformity is favored over diversity, staying positive becomes a bullshit artistry. It's not too far from our own lives, most working shit jobs trudging through the torpid 9-to-5. I know it's a common trait of my generation to feel the need for constant complaining. No job satisfaction, we're the machine and the cogs. We prefer electronic music and working on our blogs. We go full steam ahead with a locomotive of distractions like Netflix, festivals, cans and amphetamines. We don't have kids or mouths to feed. We only feed Facebook with compulsive need. Our trials differ from that of our parents. Lack of houses, low wages, and extortionate rents. No gaffes, cars, or credit cards to boast. Just craft beers, iPhones, and avocado toast. Railroading our 20s. A free caboose of responsibilities. working just to make a means to an end. I don't want to be stuck like Thomas and friends. I'd prefer to be like those lads in Trainspotting, just minus the bad teeth and the heroin. Or like Edward Norton in Fight Club and that speech he says about IKEA. Corporations are trying to swipe our personalities like we have amnesia. Conformity in capitalism is society's diarrhea. But actually, didn't he go mad in the end? I suppose that's not something to really recommend. But all this working and staying woke is tiring. No wonder lads take yokes when the weekend comes knocking. So I guess this is what I'm trying to say. Often I feel trapped in cage like a Thai elephant because answering phones all day gets very repetitive. I realize I am being hypersensitive because at least we're in out of the cold and sure we're off the welfare benefits.
Hi, how's it going? I finally learnt off a poem so that I wouldn't have to read one. But then I wrote another one, so I'm going to do that one. Dignified slaves. Dancing sardines. Deafened, tinned, so as to reduce effective communication. Fist up, fist down, fist up, fist down. Maybe a few pointing fingers and the odd jump around, if lucky enough to receive such orders. Mind for spillage, that desensitizer you desperately keep topped up is the only thing holding you lot together. The each keeps account for the other, and all are released in a controlled chemical manner. You're behind here, drink fast, no time for cheers, now you owe me one, buddy. And they'll go on, shouting at songs till they're all gone, and the next day they'll agree that blurriness is equivalent to fun. Away from home and in need of a wee, they'll wait an hour or two, or even three, because that rhymes. But anyway, till the bladders are ready to bleed, at which point they'll buy a coffee that they really didn't need, and they'll feel special as they read, "Customers only, please." When alone, they fear insanity, mistaking self-curiosity for downright vanity, and God forbid they question humanity, so they don't. But sure, no time anyway, as next episode starts in 10, 9, 8, ah feck it, tea gone cold again. Don't mind which bin you put it in, because taking time to think is petty. Oh, and having a tear in your clothes makes you a burden on society. Sharing a walking pace makes you a stalker. Grey areas are to be avoided at all costs. Under no circumstances are you to enjoy the rain. If around strangers, you are to check your phone every 7 seconds and don't make any weird movements. And if you really must cough, you're allowed 2 attempts and then just hold your breath until it's reasonable enough to assume that you mightn't have been the one coughing in the first place. These dignified slaves, they're very well behaved. She what would the neighbours say? Them two fully clothed on the one hot day. In bed and never anywhere else. They stick to the one position like the man's on some biblical mission. It's in and out the gap. None of that spine-tingling, hair-pulling, clitoris crap. So the faces he'd be pulling. As they grow old, they grow less and less bold, but not more comfortable.